Lord, keep me open to great things. What I've been doing in these recent services since Easter is looking at petitions that kind of flow from the context of the circumstances of Christ's disciples and followers in Jerusalem in the days just after the resurrection. It was for them a time of great struggle, much uncertainty. First of all, they had to come to terms with the fact that the Lord who was crucified was alive. And then they had to overcome lingering doubts and uncertainties of faith. And they needed to rise above their despair and embrace hope. And all this was happening in a context where they were to be looking forward with anticipation to great things. And it was surely a huge struggle for them to overcome all these uncertainties and to resist the temptation simply to fall into spiritual survival instead of anticipating great things. Here they were, a group of people, seeing themselves really unequipped for the sort of task that Jesus was pointing out to them would be theirs in the days ahead. And they were still struggling with their inner uncertainties. And now Jesus reminds them that their calling is to be witnesses to these things that have happened. And not only is their testimony to be a testimony that's heard in the environs of Jerusalem, but it's a word for the whole world. And surely they looked at one another and said, "Who? Us?" Great things. Now, Jesus was not talking about them having wondrous personal benefits or success. The sorts of things that Jesus was pointing them to were things in the plan of God. The idea of grasping the vision that had been bequeathed to them by Jesus to share the good news of the Lord's Messiah in the world. In connection with this, there was no promise that they were going to win the lottery, or that they were somehow, in the midst of it all, going to become famous. It rather was that they needed to anticipate that God would, in fact, do great things in their midst, with them, and in them, and through them. They needed, of course, to make plans. But they needed to make plans that were of the sort that allowed space for God to work. That's always a challenge for us, you know. Sometimes we sit back and just wait for God to act and don't do anything. And sometimes we make elaborate plans without much reference to God. And for them, it was to be a matter of grasping the vision that had been given to them, neither telling God how he ought to act, or sitting waiting idly by for him to make the first move. They had been called. They were his disciples. They were people who had walked with him, in many cases, throughout substantial portions of his public ministry. Some of them had been with him right from the very beginning. And now Jesus is placing in their trust what's ahead. What's ahead in God's plan for them? And what they should anticipate might happen. Now, great things are not always monumental public events. In fact, a whole lot of monumental public events aren't really great things at all. But for them, it was a matter of walking with God. When we look back on the New Testament era, we marvel at the things that were accomplished in that first generation. The carrying of the message throughout the Mediterranean world. But the reality is, you know, that it all happened step by step. Little action by little action. It wasn't part of some monumental campaign. It was simply the people of God living out their faith, trusting that God indeed had great things to be accomplished, and that somehow, by his grace, they had a part in it. A series of small steps for each of them to identify themselves with Jesus Christ and his grace, to acknowledge their relationship with him, and then, in keeping with the spirit of Christ and his gospel, to live life in faith. I'm sure in those first days, as these followers of Jesus began to make a slow and subtle impact upon the culture around them, that the events were small ones, you know? The smile, the generous word, the openness to talk about the Lord and the things that he had taught them. An openness to acknowledge the hand of God at work in the sending of his Son. An openness to recognize that Jesus had promised them great things and that he would fulfill those things. They were small steps, no doubt, for most of them. Oh, there may have been moments in time when they were challenged with boldness to step forward and do something that they thought was quite outside the realm of what they had the capacity to do. But for the most part, it was that slow, gentle, faithful living of the faith, surely, that made the greatest impression upon the people around them in their time and place. They had to accept that things were still unfolding and that Jesus had promised them the presence and power of God, and that they would be blessed with the Holy Spirit. And the things that they could accomplish would not just rest on their own capacities or human skills, but would really rest on the blessing and provision of God. Because then, they could have confidence. As long as they focused on themselves, they could probably only see their weakness and uncertainty and the struggle they were in the midst of. But with confidence in the promises of Christ, this declared provision of God's Spirit for the blessing of their lives and the building up of the church, this was what God would do with them and for them and through them. As I said at the outset, this was a challenging time because from a human perspective, the likelihood of accomplishing this challenge seemed really quite small. After all, as we've mentioned before in this series, they were not people of extraordinary gifts. They were ordinary folk who had been blessed by coming into the orbit of Jesus Christ. That hadn't immediately transformed them into amazing people, other than in the way that grace transforms a human life. It didn't mean that somehow they were immediately blessed with incredible, conspicuous abilities. And those things unfolded little by little as the life of that Christian community began to flourish toward Pentecost and after Pentecost. Now, what has struck me most powerfully about my thinking about this series is that nothing much has changed. By that I mean, we're still people who are very prone to slip into survival mode. You know, these early disciples, they had gone through these cataclysmic events of crucifixion and a struggle of faith. And they were, in some sense, probably just glad to have made it out the other side. But now, of course, the challenge was that God had things for them to do. Not just that they should somehow survive these events with faith, but that they should live out these events in faith. And it's not much different for us, is it? How easily we slip into the mode of thinking, well, we've survived. We look around us in the world and we see challenges to the sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It doesn't always appear to us that this is the most fortuitous time in human history to be sharing good news. It seems often that the world is distracted in other directions and doesn't much care what we might have to say. And how easy for us to slip into the mode of saying, "Thank you, God. I'll just wait quietly here and till you take me out of this place." But that, of course, was not the Lord's intention for them, nor is it the Lord's intention for us, because we are called with them to be witnesses of these things. Now we have to change our focus point a little bit because we're not in Jerusalem. You've noticed. But as they launched out from Jerusalem to the uttermost ends of the earth, we have our starting point too. Doesn't get in the scriptures, but Elberton's there. And so our calling is to anticipate God doing great things. And our prayer surely is that God will keep us open to great things, whatever they may be. And as I said, great things aren't necessarily the things you hear about on the evening news. They are the demonstrations of grace that are disclosed through the lives of God's people day by day in quiet, simple, confident ways, remembering what the Lord has done and trusting his promise for what he yet will do. We must not lose confidence that God will act and that he will continue to provide the guidance and strength of his Holy Spirit. Like the disciples of the first generation, we too are prone to look around and say, well, what can I do about that? You know, that's well outside my range of skill or influence. And if we say that, think about the disciples in Jerusalem, pulling themselves together after the trauma of the crucifixion, regrounding themselves on the truth of the resurrection, and counting on God's gift of the Spirit. So I leave it with you that we not just be content to survive, though we don't know where exactly the Lord will take us and what the nature of the great things he has for us will be. But certain of this, he has great things for his people. And as we live in faith and trusting in him, they will open to us. So take this thought with you as you go through today and the days ahead, lest you feel that it's sufficient to survive. For God wants us to move forward as his people, trusting in his grace and living it out for his glory. So, friends, what do I usually end with? This is good news. Thanks be to God.